they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Jeppa. And this week we have a fantastic guest. She is a sketch comedy writer, actor, hilarious person. Also works with me doing badass mental health work stuff and health research. It's Lauren Martin.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. I'm so excited.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Oh, we're very excited to have you here today. You have a history of actually being on other real podcasts, which is cool.
This is a real podcast.
No, this is definitely a real podcast.
We're in a real studio.
But, like, you've been on Stop Podcasting Yourself, and that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's
sort of a big deal.
Yes, I love Graham.
We managed to
get
you.
We all love Graham Clark.
Yeah, doesn't everyone love him?
He's a human Totoro, if ever there was one.
He seems like a real sweet fella.
Yeah.
So, hooray for Graham.
If you can hear this, Graham Clark, please come and be our friend. He's like, okay. What else have I got to do today?
I guess I don't be their friend.
Thanks for coming all the way down to the industrial area of the Bluffs. We are recording from our sea shanty shack down by the sea.
Yes.
It is a real studio on top of a little tippy shack that's falling apart, but it's really beautiful in here.
Yours
happy to have you.
Is the kind of place where I know your house by sight, mm-hmm. where I kind of circled the block. I didn't remember where I was going, and then I was like, there's her house. Like, I have the address written on my hand, but it's one of those places where I'm like, I know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did our intern Todd help you? He's
a crab.
No.
We sent him out to get... Did he not come back?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Shit.
Well, we'll go look for Todd on the break. He was supposed to, like, let you in the back door, get you a glass of wine, all that, but we had to do
fucking
it.
Fucking Todd.
Anyway.
That's what happens.
That's why we don't pay him. Yeah. That's exactly right.
You gotta pay for your labor, right, Chris?
Yeah,
you know what?
True.
We've been real shits about it. Todd, if you come back to us, we're gonna work out some wages.
Let's unionize all the barnacles.
Let's unionize every barnacle, every jellyfish that's washed up on the shore. Oh, it's lovely.
I'm so excited to be with the sea hags because my mother had a neighbor that she didn't like, like a nemesis neighbor, and she called her the sea hag.
Oh, is that Barbara?
You must know her.
She's the shack next door. She's a real bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I lived next to her for a while.
Some of us really emphasize the hag aspect of things, and you know what? That's her prerogative, and it's fine. How's everybody's week been? Chris, what have you been up to?
Oh, I can't really talk about it still yet.
It's fine.
I sort of can, I guess, but it's very cool. And I'm learning a lot, and I'm doing a bunch of training, and my head is swimming with details. So I am kind of tired. I talked all day today with my new coworkers, just, like, learning about training stuff. And, yeah, so I'm a little exhausted. I'm excited to cozy up in the shack with you lovely sea hags today because a little bit of companionship with some friends that I'm, instead of, like, meeting new people,
some wine.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
It's nice.
When you're new somewhere, too, you have to really be like, uh-huh, and smile
toes.
And nod, and mm-hmm. everything's like, of course, that sounds wonderful. You kind of have to be that. Not quite
myself. I was myself today at lunch where they were like, hey, let's all go for lunch together. I was like, I don't want to.
Good.
Your ability to enforce social boundaries is one of my favorite things about you, and it's something that would terrify me if I didn't know you, probably.
Yeah. So I hope I made an okay impression. But then one of the coworkers was just like, oh, I like how you can just state your needs really clearly. I'm like, cool, you understand.
You're going to see a lot of that in the upcoming.
Yeah, especially because we're going to have to share a lot of stuff and have really good boundaries and all of that. And so, I just kind of went for a walk by myself, and it was lovely.
Good.
Also, like, she was very sweet and, like, went to give me a hug, and then she stopped, and she was like, oh, let me ask first, are you a hugger or not? I'm like, not really. And she's like, cool, I'm glad I asked. Anyway, see you later. I'm like, I like you. This is good. I like people that ask first, because I got, like, hug mobbed.
Oh,
I went to the Sunshine Coast to visit my mom, and this woman came out of the restaurant that I guess knew my mom or was, like, my grandma's neighbor or something like that, and just was pretty drunk and came up to me and smooched me, like, wet on the face. It was really yucky, and she just really got into my personal space. And I actually, like, physically, when she went in for the other hug, I, like, put up a hand, and she just pushed my hand away and gave me the hug. I was like, no! I was so mad. I went and sat in the car and just sulked.
That is
I was really mad.
I don't like, when I'm sober, people who are drunk being very, like, effusive and weird with me. It makes me really uncomfortable.
Mm.
So, yeah. But I also just don't like people wet kissing my face without asking.
And like,
or ever.
I really like hugging. I really love hugging, but I don't like hugging strangers.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's completely legit.
Yeah.
I don't like that it's expected that you just have to like, just hug it out, all the time.
It seems like a lot of folks are just like, hey, like, we're now, like, we know each other in this thing, and I'm going to give you a big hug to, like, welcome you to this group. I'm like, that's really sweet, but, like, you don't know me.
I don't know you.
And I don't really want to be enveloped in a big bear hug. Like, maybe we're going to totally be great friends, and it'll be awesome, and I don't know. But
I'm a big handshaker. I will shake any hand, even if it's supposed to be a hug. I'm like, I put out the hand like I'm a businessman.
Well, I try to do the thing where you, like, redirect the hug so someone comes in, and you go, ah, and you high-five them.
Yeah.
Or you, like, put the hand out to handshake, the lower hand, and then they come in for the hug. But, like, this woman at the restaurant just totally, like, blew
past it.
And then, like, yeah, other person that I met was just like, hugs! And I just, like, I couldn't.
You were trapped.
Yeah. That stinks. Just everyone be like my coworker and just be like, hey, are you a hugger? And if they say yes, then you go in for a big enthusiastic one. And if not, you go, cool, and then you high-five them, and then you shimmy off into the sunset.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't even fist bump. Sometimes I'll just be like, okay, we're not hugging. I'll just, like, stick out one little finger. We'll do, like, an E.T. Eliot fingertip touch. That's a good one. And people just think it's so weird and funny that they kind of like it. So it's been a pretty good redirect for me.
I like a fist bump because it's cold, like, when it's cold and flu season, shaking hands is kind of yucky.
Yeah. We do that a lot with our job.
Mm-hmm.
That's become popular, the fist bump.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of my job, though, when I'm, like, in the acting and performance world, oh, a lot of people want to hug you.
They're really huggy.
And they're always men.
It's always improvers. Wow.
And it's always improvers.
Filthy improvers.
And I'm like, why am I hugging? Why am I pressing my body against you? Like,
they want to feel your boobs.
That's exactly what's going on. It is. Yeah.
It's part of the scene.
It's part of the scene.
Like, in this scene, I'm going to push your boobs to my boobs.
In this scene, we're conjoined twins.
At the boob.
At the boob. My hand to your boob.
Conjoined my thoughts to your thoughts. My butt to your butt. Oh my god, a Vulcan butt meld. Love it.
How was your week, Lauren?
It was great. Swell. I had yesterday off, and I went to the lovely sea shanty town of White Rock. Yeah, I've never been before.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
It's really
so
charming. Clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
We walked up and down the beach like two or three times, and I got really annoyed because I saw a big group of people with foil balloons, and I was like, what are they doing? I was like, and then they're handing out the foil balloons. I was like, are they going to release those balloons? You may as well just shove them down a whale's blowhole. And lo and behold, we saw the balloons fly. I was just waiting for it to happen.
Bad behavior.
Bad behavior at White Rock. I would have loved it
if you chewed them out, and then it's like, oh, these balloons contain my grandfather's ashes or something, where you're like, oh, what do I even say to that? You still shouldn't do this.
Yeah, that's still a bad idea.
Sorry about
still
your grandpa.
A bad idea.
You know, you can just release ashes into the ocean, and it's fine.
You're not supposed to, but you totally can.
Oh, we did that with my grandma.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, but you totally can.
Why are you supposed to?
Yeah, it's like a hazard.
Dead body.
Dead
thing.
Body hazard. It's a dead body, Chris.
It's one last F you to society, though.
Absolutely.
If you do choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll release your ashes.
I like the Hunter S. Thompson approach, just shot out of a cannon. That's pretty cool.
That's good.
I like those, like, nature pod things where it's like a...
A tree grows out of a...
Yeah, it's like a weird sort of biodegradable cocoon that they bury you in and plant you, and then trees grow out of
you. Yeah, that's a really nice idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. After 6 feet under, I was just like, oh, don't...
Please, embalming,
don't embalm me unless it's really necessary.
Or what is the circumstance?
Yeah.
If I suddenly become an Egyptian pharaoh.
if my people want it. Okay.
Please make sure that all of my organs are put into some very nice canopic jars.
I would rather that than the way they do it now.
Packed in natron salts. Oh my god, I'm just realizing how much I remember about mummification.
Is it from the, like... Magical Eunuch books?
Oh, the River God? With, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wilbur Smith.
Chris, oh, I think we've talked about that in our book club episode.
We didn't even talk about those
We
ones.
Didn't get into it. Wilbur Smith's River God series is the most ridiculous, like, African revisionist, like,
oh,
Egyptian
no.
story written by a white dude, but we fucking love it.
it's so cheesy.
It's very bad, but I liked it.
And, the main character is, like, Taita, the magical eunuch or something.
Yeah,
he doesn't have
nards or dangles or nothing, but...
His mind's free for other... pursuits.
Absolutely.
It's quite a magic.
He's a genius and he lives hundreds of years and it's a cool time for him. But no, I'm thinking I was just very obsessed with ancient history as a kid and I haven't forgotten any of it, which is great. So I feel like if a pharaoh were to die, in my care.
You'd be able to take
me out of this. I'd be really good. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm like, okay, we got to go in through the nose. Get that brain out of there. Yeah, it's the first step. It's the first step. You got to right in there.
Dingle dangle.
Dingle dangle.
Give it a little swirl.
Yeah. Yep. Just make a little, make some froyo up in there. Oh, gross.
And
sorry.
Pull it out.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't describing eye surgery earlier. Yes. I just talked about taking out a brain instead.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes my bikes.
I like that movie, The Mummy, which is very revisionist Egyptian history. But
with
it's
Brendan
my
Fraser.
Favorite. Brendan Fraser and John Hannah. And
Oded Fehr.
Oh, yeah.
He's a handsome fellow.
And young Rachel Weisz.
Mm, she's great.
Just fresh-faced as all.
I'm a librarian.
Oh, she's so cute in that movie.
It's a much better movie than it has any right to be.
Yeah, exactly.
The Scorpion King, on the other hand, not so much.
The sequels, no.
But is that The Rock?
The one with the worst CGI that's ever been committed to film in a big-budget movie. Yeah. He's the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
He looks like shit.
He has scorpion legs.
Yeah, he got scorpion legs. Why did Bob just... Can we speak to Bob, please?
You just channel him.
Fucking scorpion legs and shit.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you went down to the beach and had a nice time.
And you got embalmed.
We rented a... three ladies, and we rented a hotel room.
Were you at the Ocean Beach Hotel?
I what? Oh, Ocean Beach Promenade or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's ocean or beaches.
There's ocean. There's only one hotel, really, on
The Ocean Beach Hotel is just where every, like, dirt bag that I... Because I grew up in North Delta, all the dirt bags would go and, like, party there on Saturday nights and then, like, drive home drunk. Bad times, but a good time, but also a bad time.
I'm hoping they don't charge me extra for the horrible vomit mess I left, so... So that makes me, if it's a party hotel, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Oh, I'm sure that's not the worst thing they saw even that day.
We partied hard on Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we watched TLC, like, because none of us have cable. And so we put it on and then we started watching My 600-Pound Life.
Oh.
And we couldn't turn it off. We were just like, it was so, their stories were so sad. It's like, what's the addiction one? Intervention.
My Strange Addiction or Intervention?
Like, they all have such sad stories. And you're
it's just a collection of sad stories.
It's
like,
sad
it's like sadness porn,
with
basically.
Wine. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Addicting, though.
Addicting. Because you're like, my life's not so bad.
Is she not addicted to cheesy potatoes anymore? Like, is she going to eat food other than cheesy potatoes?
Nope.
As the super, like, super tasters, super ultra picky eaters who will only eat one food forever and they get horrible.
You gotta eat a wide variety of foods. It's nice.
Nope.
It's good for your
personal
body.
Pan, cheese, pizza, chicken nuggets, french fries, a white bread.
Well, I mean, people have been living on that for a while.
You'll live for a while. Not long, but.
Or you'll live forever.
Yeah.
It's a lot of preservatives.
I guess we don't know. We don't really natural embalming.
None of us are scientists.
Modern day pharaohs, you guys.
Modern day pharaohs. We're all social scientists, which is not real science. It's kind of science.
It is, totally.
Semi-science.
It's a science.
In a manner of speaking.
There are graphs involved. We've established this.
Venn diagrams.
Oh, yeah. I'm an expert in Venn diagrams.
And, Lauren, I also wanted to thank you for wearing your secret pajamas today.
I wore my most formal secret pajamas I could find.
Just so in the spirit of the
beautiful,
CX podcast.
A beautiful dress with leggings, but it's the comfiest shit. And you look amazing.
I've sold so many people on your secret pajamas concepts. I'm like,
so glad. Yes. We really have to give that to...
I'm spreading
the
word.
It's you, and it's Emily White, both in tandem, I think, really.
She takes that. She takes it like... It's just a little bit of a branding that I'm working on, but she's made it into, like, her lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like...
She, just, like, an update on a previous guest.
Yeah.
She had an article published in a book about boobs, and it's all about her love of the genie bra, which, as we established in that episode, she's super into.
Nice.
So I'm going to have to buy that book, I think.
Cool. We should put a link to that article and...
Absolutely. I have to take my hand off the desk now. It's going to make a really weird noise.
Is it stuck?
Ooh. We've got...
It's hot.
We're gonna die in the summertime.
It's early spring.
Yeah.
It's like full blown sunshine.
It's March 31st.
Yeah.
We don't usually say the date, but that's the date we're recording.
Yeah.
It's so fucking
hot. It's like
20 degrees, and like we've got a very vinyl-y table.
Lousy smarch weather.
Well, so who knows what's gonna happen.
We're just gonna get big ice packs and sit on them through the whole summer.
Yeah, or we're just gonna have to cope with having a fan, and you're gonna listen to a fan.
Do it early in the morning. You might have to start day drinking, as we discussed.
Oh, yeah, no, I can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say that I shouldn't drink. I'm like,
mimosas are nice in the morning.
We could have kombucha mimosas.
Kombucha mimosas.
Cool.
See, she wasn't into it at first either, but...
I don't know about mixing it with champagne.
It's
already,
probably disgusting.
It's pretty naturally effervescent.
Yeah, it's bubbly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Shizzy bubbly.
So you can kind of do your own thing with that, I guess. But I don't know. The sun's been out, so I'm feeling pretty fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
How was your week, Katie?
Yeah.
Ooh, we're on to my week now.
Yeah.
I've been sort of unusually busy the last few weeks, months, I guess, even. I've just been doing a lot of a lot of like stand up writing, and I did an open mic last night, and it was really fun. I was doing the stand up and deliver open mic at Seven Dining Lounge on Broadway. It was a good night. It varies week to week for sure, but last night was really packed. It was awesome. There's some big name folks out there, which was really cool, and I had a good set, and it was a good experience. And there was only, you know, like 6 tasteless jokes about trans people all night, which is, you know, fairly low for the general ratio.
Less than Zoolander 2,
but more than I would like, which is a 0 amount would be really cool, but you know, you can't win them all. But otherwise, yeah, no, I've just been just kind of been doing stuff, like, instead of coming home at the end of a work day and just sort of vegging out, which is a thing I really like doing and should do a few days a week, but I haven't been doing that lately. So I think I kind of got to get back to like making sure I'm doing that twice a week and then going out the rest of the time.
Because like, strike that balance of like, you don't want to hermit and avoid doing
I don't want to
like,
isolate
creative
myself,
work but you also don't want
to
just,
because you have to
totally
go out in life and have a life if you're going to write
jokes, life. And it's tough when you're doing stand-up because you are out all the time, and you're out at a bar.
And you're out for like 4 hours at a time if you're waiting for a spot and stuff. Yeah. So it's, the open mic stuff is not fun, but I mean, I had fun, but it's nice to know when you're going on and when you can leave. Because I was there for 4.5 hours yesterday, which is, I had a good time, but...
But it's a long time.
It's a long time to like, if you work a full day and then you go out and do that, and then you have to like, because I live in New West, so I got to drive all the way back. It's fine. It means I can't drink too much.
Which is probably fine on
probably
a night.
Which is the best on a Wednesday.
Long term, too,
You know what? You seem like you kind of got it.
I got it all figured out. I'm just kind of like, I'm just like figuring out how to keep the plate spinning all at the same time. And trying to sleep at the same time is really hard. That's what I'm having trouble with, is if I don't sleep super well when I'm very busy. So trying to figure out how to just like exhaust myself into sleeping an 8-hour night.
Well, I wish you luck with that pursuit.
And I got a new Fitbit, one that does sleep tracking. So I tried it one night. But you have to wear a wristband, and I fucking hate having things on my wrists. Like, I never wear bracelets. I never wear watches. And I think it distracted me a lot. But then when I woke up the next day, it was just, like, all of these spikes and shit from where I was, like, restless and shitty. I'm like, oh, I'm bad at this. I'm so bad at sleeping.
They have this one that's, like, it's designed to be, like, a feminine product. And it's, like, a clip. Oh, you've got the clip on!
I got the clip. It's in my bra, so Lauren is looking at my rack right now.
Chris, nice purple bra.
Thank you. I got it in Europe. Yeah.
It was fancy.
In a warehouse clearance shop in Europe. In Portugal.
Ooh.
Oh, sí, bom dia.
Le warehouse.
That's French. That is not Portuguese.
I don't know that.
I know how to say bom dia and obrigada, and those are the only things I know, which is good day, thank you, if you're a lady.
Excellent.
Language is very gendered there.
As many languages
many
are.
Languages.
French is that way too, isn't it?
Sacré bleu. Oh, merde.
I've been tracking my steps too.
Have you?
I haven't gotten to the sleep, but I'm tracking my steps because...
Do you just count them?
It's on my phone. Yeah, I just... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Did I just distract you if you lost count for the day? Shit.
When we walked on the beach, we walked easy 10,000 steps just walking up and down the beach. Yeah.
Where am I doing all my steps?
That's
yesterday.
Like that Malcolm Gladwell book, 10,000 steps.
You're an expert. 10,000 steps, you're an expert in walking.
Yeah.
When I went to New York with my mom, I wore my Fitbit, and one day we walked like 26,000 steps. We like covered all of Central Park and like heart of lower Manhattan. It was the best.
Yeah.
We were drunk the whole time.
You can have cake after.
I had pizza and cake,
all over this town.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. Well, I think we're all caught up. Should we get on to what we actually want to talk about today?
Yeah. So we asked Lauren to be on the podcast because she loves talking astrology.
Especially when there's wine involved.
Yes. And as much as we are sort of cynical and salty, we really like astrology. But like...
Because you're... implied witches.
And so like there's some nuances strongly there where it's witches. You know, as much as I want to be very grounded and this and that, I just, like, I really love astrology a lot. I like archetypes. I like looking at,
It's no different than the Myers-Briggs, honestly. Like,
it's basically the same thing.
It's pretty much exactly the same thing, except you got 16 types instead of 12, right? Yeah. So.
And then it's, like, not as much around your birthday. But I've just found some things where it's, like, I really love certain horoscopes, especially like when they're really good. I'm like, of course it's right. And then when they're bad, I'm like, this is just for fun. It's not real. But all the stuff that's actually, like, around the archetypical signs and their, like, aspects. Like, it just really seems to fit everyone that I know. Is like, oh, you really are a Virgo. You really are a Leo. You're a Scorpio.
Huge
oh, man.
Capricorn.
You are very Capricorn.
Right? And then I did my natal chart where it was, like, actually where I was born and the time. And it's, like, disturbingly accurate down to, like, the secret stuff that I don't like telling people about. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then there's also something about, like,
I'm so curious.
I have so many friends that, like, the people that I feel really close to in one way, and then I, like, go on Facebook and it's like, oh, everyone that you love in this way, all their birthdays are, like, in the last 3 days, basically.
Right?
So it's like, there is something about the time and the year, and even if that's just the way that you were raised because you were born in a certain season or something. But there's enough that, I'm sure there are enough outliers that it doesn't make sense, but for me it just seems to have rung true a lot.
I guess it's confirmation bias in a lot
of
ways.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm into it. I know two other people who have Christmas birthdays like you.
Yes.
What?
And
you have other friends with Christmas birthdays?
I have my cousin other, like, relatively, birthday. I wouldn't say super close friends, but close enough that, like, my, you know, Adam, P-Dub, the photographer, and my friend Eva, both born on Christmas Day, and all three of you have that sort of same, like, a bit of bullishness about you.
Mm-hmm.
Or ramishness, I guess, is probably the more
goatishness.
Yes,
it's
ornery goatness.
And it's like there's a lot of warmth and kindness, and but there's a lot of, like, self direction and, like, not even isolationist tendency, but a preference for working alone in a lot of different contexts.
Interesting, because my cousin has the same birthday, and I was sitting here thinking, you're not really anything alike, but she's a tree planter.
Mm.
So she really likes working alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, and just like being able to set your own goals and do your
That's
own thing,
right.
and like. To, you know, you hold your own beliefs very strongly, and while you're willing to listen to other people, you're not going to be moved very easily. And that's, I would say that's very true of all three of you.
Yeah.
And sometimes all a little cockish about opinions, but that's fun. Like, if you're aware of it, it's fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm not. I'm a weenie about those kinds of things. I'm wishy-washy. I'm a fishy fish.
Yeah.
Pisces.
Fishy-washy.
It's what I like to think about the Capricorn is, like, yes, I have my, like, I'm the feet solidly on the ground, but then I have the fish tail as well. So it's like I am movable and mutable and, like,
world's freakiest mermaid.
Can let things kind of roll off me a little bit. And
sometimes people forget about the sea goat aspect. Mm-hmm.
The sea goat aspect.
Yeah. It is technically a sea goat.
Yeah.
And in astrology, water is very representative of emotions. So it's interesting because it's a hybrid, and that Capricorns are often sort of in denial of their emotions. And it's almost like a constant reminder that you're a very emotional creature, too, underneath all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very accurate, because I think you, and I'm just going to, like, give you opinions about you.
Great.
From me.
Let's all tell each other about each other. That's what this show
that's
is
what this
about.
I would say, like, because you are occasionally hesitant or recalcitrant about emotions. Like, if you have an unpleasant one, you're like, no, I'm not going to, I don't really want to feel this right now. But then when you're like, oh, I can't avoid this, you just let it wash over you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a funny thing. I think that's very much like the sea goat thing. Because you're like, no, I don't have time. No, I need to take a day off and cry about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. And I love that about you, actually. I find it really cute because you're like, no, okay, fine. It just makes me want to hug you, but with your consent.
With your consent.
Which I know is implicit.
Well, it's nice of you to always check in, because even though you hugged me yesterday, it doesn't mean I want to be hugged today.
You can withdraw consent.
Your body's nobody's body but yours. Doesn't really lend itself to the rest of the rhyme. Because it's supposed to be my body's nobody's body but mine. You run your own body. Let me run mine. They just rhymed mine with mine. It's some bullshit kid stuff.
That's some low-level rap right there.
That's some Vanilla Ice shit.
Yeah. That's some Iggy Azalea shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Some Iggy Azalea
with 12
shit.
Writers helping you.
Oh, God. And they're all Swedish for some reason. So I kind of wanted to think about, like, so we're looking at our relationships with astrology, and I think that mine's very similar to yours, Chris, and that I am a pretty grounded, skeptical person. I don't consider myself an atheist necessarily, but, like, most of the time I'm you know, what's the evidence pointing to?
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, what can I perceive? What is real? But I also, I like to think that it's just, like, I'm very dichotomous in that way, because in one hand I'm like, no, this is factual, this is a real thing, and the other hand I'm like, I got a shitload of crystals in my house, and
they help me.
And I used to, when I was a little, they do, well, they're pretty, and then
I got
me, like, focus
too.
On things and whatnot. But, I mean, I remember getting my allowance as a kid, like, as a seven-year-old kid, I got, like, a $2 allowance or a $7 allowance or something, and I would buy those little astrology scrolls that they sold at the Night and Day Diner.
I remember those.
And I would get one, like, every month. I'm like, all right, what's my future about? Like, what am I, tell me about my fake personality, and then I'd be like, oh, no, this is all real. And my mom is a very, she's very much the same way in that she's like, no, no, I'm skeptical, I'm bad, but she totally believes in astrology. Mm-hmm. So I think she's going to love this episode.
Yeah, what's your mom's sign?
She's a Taurus. Oh, she's a huge Taurus.
Like me.
She's, what's your birthday?
April 21st.
She's the 24th.
Wow, so we, so, I have a special affinity for women April Tauruses.
Because
there's a big
great.
Difference between, like, April and May, I feel. I feel the April ones are a little more hyper, and the May ones are the more chill Taurus. Mm-hmm. So when I meet women that are like April Taurus, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
All of my, probably like my mom.
All of my Taurus friends are April Tauruses. Yeah? It's all around the same few days.
The
April 23, 24, 25, 20, and a bunch on the 27th. Like so many people on the 27th.
That's your lucky day.
What's, yeah. Let's backtrack. So we got April, March, April, yeah. Mm-hmm. February, January. I'm trying to figure out when everybody's fucking.
Oh, it's summer loving leads to spring babies.
Oh, yeah,
babies.
They had them a blast.
They're having fun. Sometimes, though, sometimes yeah. Fun is not always the best partnership. But
yeah. So I think that... When was I would have been conceived in probably June, I guess, if it was March 1st. March, April, May. Then June. Yeah, probably early, late May, early June. Mom and Dad, I'm on to you.
Yeah, out on the boat, having a time in White Rock.
If I was conceived on a boat, I'm thrilled. But I don't think that's true.
Do you want to know? They'll tell you.
They'll tell me. If I ask, they'll tell me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's my mom really got me a lot into astrology, too. We would always get... She didn't really like fashion magazines or anything, but we'd always get the Cosmo in January.
Because they have the big astrology pullout.
The big astrology pullout that you can...
pull out.
But yeah, it's like, and it was your horoscope for the year, and we'd write, she's a Capricorn too.
January, what's your mom's birthday?
January 9th.
Well, that's cute. You guys are so close by.
Yeah, so close.
Our moms are a day apart.
Yeah. And Lauren, your mom is amazing.
Thank you.
You brought your mom to my birthday party.
I did.
Was I there?
Maybe.
Is that how I met you before then? Because I'm like, I feel like I have met you.
I think we stood at the snack table, which is where I usually am. At parties?
Was that at your old place?
No, the Cream Puff Tower party.
Oh, okay. We did meet. Yeah. Right. I don't know if I did meet. Oh, no, I did meet your mom. She's cute.
She is cute, right?
And she's just so full of questions and just keeps
like,
the conversation
who was over
50
that was at that party? Lauren's mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was her.
Yeah.
She's cute.
And so,
I chatted with her,
what is your relationship with astrology then, Lauren? So your mom's pretty into it because she read most people in the room and
really
talked very like.
She liked when you were talking about the Harry Potter.
Oh, the Hogwarts houses.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm very much that. Like, I just love alignment charts. Like, yeah. I like the D&D thing, you're like chaotic neutral or whatever. Like,
oh, I bet I'm chaotic, very chaotic.
Good. I'm chaotic good for sure. That's my moral alignment. And I like to do good things, but I like to fuck it up how I do it. And I'm a Hufflepuff in a huge way. And I'm an INFJ, and I'm a Pisces. And all of those things feel very true for me.
I feel like we should just put this information on our resumes, and then they should build teams based on
personality. I put it on...
Personality.
I'm an ENFJ, and I put it on my Twitter, and somebody, like my professional Twitter... not that I have many Twitters. I mean, I only have a professional Twitter.
Just the one Twitter.
Just the one. But I put it on there, and someone commented. They're like, oh, I work really well with ENFJs. That's really cool to see, da-da-da-da-da. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, ha-ha.
I'm told INFJ is a very uncommon sign, but... A sign?
See?
You know, Myers-Briggs designation. I don't know what the right word mm-hmm. is, but my partner also is an INFJ.
And a lot of our close friends.
Several of my very close friends are
I'm
INFJs.
I'm close to that. I know I'm an I.
Yeah.
And a feeler.
I'm an introvert, but I love people. Like, I love meeting people,
me
and I love performing and stuff,
me
but
too.
I want to control my access, or people's it's, access to me.
People think that because you're a performer, that you're automatically an extrovert.
Yeah.
There's a lot of introverted performers.
Oh, yeah.
I even, like, we did
they
a
leave
show.
They leave it on the stage, right?
And I don't like coming out after the show, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone thinks I'm being difficult. It's just, I'm like, no,
I'm wiped.
I gotta
refill the tank.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, hi, thanks for.
It's all about. It's not about what you like doing. It's about necessity. Well, I mean,
necessity.
It's partly that, but it's also. Yeah. It's mostly about like where do you get your energy from? Mm-hmm. And I'm like mm-hmm. a kind of a combo. Like I get it from small groups. Like this, I find doing the podcast energizes me in a really big way, and like hanging out with a friend energizes me a lot. But if I go to a party, I'm pretty tired mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah,
after.
Then.
Or
then
if I like. Get asked a shitload of questions or something. Like,
by my mother.
If I give it, no, she's cool. But if I was like giving, because I've given a few talks and things, and people come up and ask you like very serious questions after, and then I'm like exhausted. I don't want to talk to anybody for 2 days after. So it's a weird thing.
I was surprised when I got the ENFJ because that's the extrovert, and I'm mm-hmm. like, but I'm not. I need my alone time to recharge. And then when I think about it, I'm like, no. When I'm out in a crowd and I'm like feeling flirty and cute mm-hmm. and
You're vibing hard.
Basically just, like, working the room, like, in a very, like, social butterfly way, I, like, feel so amazing. And, like, I definitely like having downtime and alone time, and I really pride my, like, or prize or am very protective of. That's the word that
prioritize,
I was trying to...
Prioritize?
I don't know. I'm very protective of my alone time, and I, like, don't want it encroached on.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think that's necessarily introvert. I don't know.
So much as just... liking what you like.
Yeah, just being a stubborn
being
asshole.
A Capricorn.
That might be it.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So yeah, that's like, I think we just love to, people like, we don't need labels. I'm like, labels are helpful for people to self-identify and for people
for
to
self-identifying.
Like not for other people to give you, but for you to give yourself and for you to describe yourself. I think labels are very useful. Mm-hmm. And for me to be able to say, I'm all of these things. Like, I made a vest that's got a big Hufflepuff crest on the back.
Oh,
and all the pins
cute.
Are like sweet things. Like, I have one a friend gave me that just says, I am a great friend. Or like, girl hate with an X through it. Because I'm like, yeah, pro ladies and all that kind of stuff. So it's like a big, sweet, sucky... like punk rock vest.
That's very
so there's
Pisces.
Like spike coming off of it, and then just like all of these. I have like a Jeff Goldblum Appreciation Society.
I love him.
He's the best.
He's the best.
So attractive.
So I was gonna. I didn't want to objectify him.
1993 Jeff Goldblum. If I ever had a time machine, I'd go back just to like touch his chest on the Jurassic Park set.
I'd do it now.
Oh, he's still hot.
Oh yeah.
He's
he was
aging
just,
really
he
well.
He was just peak hot in 1993. You know, like his Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Jurassic Park.
When he does that creepy thing with Laura Dern, like puts the water on her hand. Oh, I'm just like, good.
I know. That's all it takes. That's all.
Well, he's
like
in a leather
do.
Jacket talking about chaos theory. I'm like, you like every asshole at a university that just makes you go sploosh until you learn better. That character. So, yeah.
So, actually, it's funny because I'll give you a quick backstory about my astrology, but my mom does charts. She started, you know, as a teenager, they used to hand draw charts. She's
cool.
And she does it by computer now, but she is capable of doing your birth chart. And all growing up, it was like, well, you know, it's because of this and that. And I just was like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it.
Shut up, witch mom.
Yeah. Go talk to the sea hag next door.
Barbara.
I'm thinking about Leonardo DiCaprio. Splooge.
Did we just have exactly the same childhood or something? I had a Leo DiCaprio poster that I, like, if you looked at it from the side, you would see all, like, the glitter lip gloss I wasted kissing it.
Oh, my gosh.
I had problems.
That's not a waste.
I told you, I'm Tina from Bob's Burgers.
Boy crazy.
I was boy crazy, which is funny, given the fact that I'm not straight, but... I liked very feminine boys.
Boys are fun. I liked feminine boys. I liked safe boys in high
school. Non-threatening boys magazine.
They turned out to be mostly gay and didn't like me at all. But that's okay.
That's my favorite kind of guy.
I know. I'm a real sucker for it.
Yeah, totally.
So speaking of men that are bad, I kept choosing. I chose my two serious relationships in my early 20s. Looking back, had the same sun moon combo.
Ooh,
like
bad news bears.
And they were
I think.
Completely in opposition to me. And so my mom's like, you know, it's going to be a really challenging relationship. And I'm like, I don't want to hear about it.
She'd say that like at the outset.
No, not at the outset, but just when I was, well.
When you started to struggle?
When I was crying on the phone all the time.
Oh.
It's like, well, you know, they're Sagittarius and they're chronically asshole-ish. And,
a Sag.
So after that kind of period of my life ended and I was looking for answers was right around the same time I started working in the downtown east side.
Right.
So it kind of coincided that all of a sudden I started reading up and all these things my mom had said started making sense because I'd had all the vocabulary, all the backstory. It's easy for me to comprehend when I'm reading an astrology book. Mm-hmm. And I started using it at work going, well, if you're having a long conversation with someone and then you say, well, what's your sign? And it's not necessarily about telling them, oh, that means this. It's like, oh, so you must be pretty sensitive, hey? And then I would find that they would just
they love that.
Open up, right? Yes.
Tell them a good thing about themselves.
Tell them a good thing about themselves, and people will open
fingers
up
forever.
Like nothing. Yeah, like nothing before. So it kind of, I even gave me shivers thinking about that because it's just like it is such a powerful, and it's exactly what you were talking about. It's empowering people to describe themselves and self-reflection.
And to, like focus on the things that they feel are very reflective of themselves, I think.
The things that they attach to.
Yeah, and because we're very attached to ideas about ourselves. And I think that astrology is a big part of that. And I like being reaffirmed the things that I already feel about myself. Like, I think that, I guess we'll get into what Pisces is all about. But I know that it's like, oh, you know, the depth of feeling that you're capable of. But the ability to kind of be rational over top of that, which is... which is a really important
duality
thing for
me, is a big thing with Pisces. Mm-hmm. A few signs: Pisces, Gemini, of course. Libra. They're all about dualities.
I'm a very, like, I wouldn't say flip-floppy, but I'm just, like I said, you know how I said I have, like, the crystals in one hand and the practicality in the other, and that I don't feel difficulty reconciling those
practical
two
magic?
A little practical bit practical magic. Let's make some blender margaritas with our good friends,
Sandra. Sandra B.
That I was trying to
call her Nicole.
Nicole K.
Nikki K.
our pals. Yeah. Our friends. Our friendos. Saw that for the first time this last year.
Oh, nice.
It's a great one. Kick.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched The Craft.
Oh, I love
it. My wife had never seen The Craft. She lost her shit. She's
How
did no one ever tell me about Faroozah Balk before? I'm like, where did she go? Where did she come from? Where did she go?
Has your wife seen Return to Oz?
I will not let that movie be played in my household because it scares the absolute fucking shit out of me.
Because that's headless a young queen, Faroozah Balk.
The Headless Queen and the Wheelies.
The Wheelies are very scary.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like any of that.
And the electroshock therapy in the beginning.
See, creepy things scare me so much more than actual horror things. I can't even handle, like, the pink elephants on parade or anything, like, that's kind of like a creepy hallucination or something like that, or like a fairy tale creepiness. I just, it gets into me.
Because you're a witch.
Because I'm a witch.
I like what you said about self-reflection. I've always really struggled with the Capricorn thing because it's always, like, when you read, like, the little, in the Georgia Strait, the thing, it's like, Capricorn, you're so practical, saving money, doing this. I'm like, it sounds so boring and so...
You guys get...
Slow. Like, we get...
Shorted on the horoscopes. And Virgos, too.
Yeah. I have so many sweet, lovely, caring, wonderful Virgo friends.
Virgos make the world go round, and they get the worst horoscopes.
Yeah.
They're like, stop worrying so much. You'll give yourself
our
a stomachache.
Wonderful Which friend who made us our logos and art, Luna, is a... Virgo, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
And she feels very connected to that sign.
Yeah.
Highly capable people.
Yeah.
She's so capable.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to keep...
I'm the baby of the earth signs. I'm a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very childlike, not childish, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's also this theory, too, that the signs, like Aries, those early spring ones, are younger in some sense.
Ah.
And I always felt like old soul, and so I struggled with that. I was like, no. No. But you'll notice...
I'm not a baby.
I'm the youngest.
I'm a big girl.
Yeah.
I got here all by myself.
You did. You got your big McDonald's drink.
Yeah. Because I thought I might throw up.
You have a bad hangover.
Yeah.
You're very grown up and you drank alcohols.
I threw up in a snack bag on the drive back from White Rock today.
That's
She had a bag
adorable.
Of nuts and we were on the highway and I was like, Laura... I'm gonna throw up. And she's a nurse, so luckily I was in good company. She's like, "That's okay, just do it." And I was like, "Ah!" I threw up in a bag. I felt exactly like a child actually.
Aww.
And then so Pisces
vomiting
on,
is like the thing that'll really take you back to childhood.
Oh, that'll take you back
just
to
like
childhood.
Tears. Like,
mommy, make me saltines.
Make them for me.
Make them.
It's like oh, some of these crack. No, you have to make them from scratch.
Yeah, please.
I'm a baby.
I'm a little baby, and I'm barfing.
I'm a sexy baby.
Oh, no, not a sexy baby. That's the worst kind of baby. Sorry, we're actually talking about something, and I just...
Any chance to bring up sexy babies?
I'm a sexy baby.
I'm a sexy baby. Boopy doopy doop.
Sex.
Sometimes you get a bunch of Pisces and Earth signs together.
Oh my god.
It's just a big
But so if
sex
if
fest.
Taurus then is like the younger, like they're the more childlike, and then Capricorn is supposed to be older.
Older, and Pisces is oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense.
They're at the
I'm the mom friend in every possible situation.
And I'm kind of like the sassy grandma or the sassy auntie.
Sassy auntie.
I always struggled with Capricorn because it's like, I don't care about career, I don't care about this and that, but that was like when I was 18.
Right.
And now that I'm 31, I'm just like, oh yeah, no, my career track is like, it's fucking going and I'm into it and I would sacrifice a lot of different things for it and... Like, no one's going to stop me from, like, pursuing my directive. And I'm like, oh, that's literally out of that scroll that I read when I was a kid.
They go
like,
from the Night and Day restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm
growing into it.
I think that an Aaron Sorkin style, like, dramedy would be, like, perfect for telling your work-life story.
Hmm.
That'd be a fun one.
I've got a few secret ideas, too. I think that I'm so fascinated by women who take care. In their professional lives.
Mm. Or, like, caretaking,
nursing and social work and
I'm an academic advisor, so I do, like, academic counseling with people.
Yeah, and so that's probably what exhausts you, talking to people all day, too.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. I love it, but it does take it out of me.
I'm waiting for that show. We were joking about this. We're like, you know, like a Sex and City, but where they have real jobs. You know, like,
you don't just, like, write one magazine column a week and afford a fucking Manhattan apartment.
Like, I want to see the person who's covered in vomit. Peeling
like
their,
a Nurse Jackie.
I love Nurse Jackie.
It just felt too much like work to me that I felt really stressed out.
Now that you are moving on to other pastures, when the time is right. See, and I used to work at a video store. So I don't ever beat yourself up because you haven't seen something. Because the right time is coming. Like, mm-hmm. you could be laid up and sick on the couch, and that's the perfect time to watch, you know,
The Citizen whole
the
Kane. Wire.
Or the whole wire. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get to that one day when I'm almost dead,
probably. Oh, it's so good. I'll watch it with you again.
Okay, cool. I tried, and it's so hard to get it. The first season
I've been to
really
Baltimore,
dry.
And it was terrifying for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. I love Homicide: Life on the Street. Love it. My mom watched it.
I love
in the
murder
90s.
Shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I love detective
the wire
shows.
I've just had a hard time getting into.
Yeah.
Not enough girls, maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
For me to relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, like all of the acclaimed shows are just like, where are the ladies at? Oh, they're there being bitches and ruining men's lives.
Being murdered.
Being murdered.
Oh, good.
Fridged. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time. No, we could just do a whole show on that.
Well, next time.
No, next, yeah, absolutely. Next time we're going to talk real hateful and sad shit.
Next time we're going to do a real
Today we're
gonna little haggy episode.
Learn about our futures.
Yeah.
Well, this book I brought, I'm not going to take any credit. It's Michael Luton, who writes for Vanity Fair. But he wrote this book, and it's actually about a comet that's in your natal chart. Now, this is where it gets real kind of real freaky deaky.
Okay.
Because
do it.
This is more about, it's about like fate. So see, you don't even have to take that leap in astrology necessarily, but he's taking that leap. He's saying that this particular aspect is fatally attached to you. So it's because of past life stuff. Fatal attraction. That was a good movie. Change the ending to make her more of a villain.
Oh,
I just read that.
Yeah, just do it. Just change it.
Yeah,
or
just
change. They changed it.
They changed it because the audience were like, "I don't want her to be complicated." So they were
I don't
just
want
like,
"This woman to have any nuance?"
No. So they just changed the whole.
God forbid Glenn Close portray someone with some nuance to her. She sold Cruella de Vil pretty hard.
Well,
I gotta say,
she did. She did. So if you want, we could look at, and it's about your. It's the very first thing says this book has been channeled from God. So it's, you kind of got to take a leap with this book.
That's quite a bold claim.
That's a bold claim.
God gave me this book.
We've moved from astrology as like archetypes that we can kind of use to define ourselves and reflect and whatever to be like, this is our fate.
We're going full woo.
We're going in
it. We're going full fate. And it talks about your obsessions. He says that everyone has two obsessions.
Oh no.
And the thing with obsessions.
Drawing dicks on things.
I'm so excited to see what your obsessions are.
Oh, I'm so, it's drawing dicks on things.
I took a peek at yours, Chris, while we were setting up the windows. And then as you were talking, I was like,
Uh-oh.
Oh, we like flirting at the party, huh?
Uh-oh.
So.
Addicted to touching butts.
Addicted to touching butts. So the thing with obsessions is sometimes by obsessing on it, it's not necessarily what you get. Like they say, if you're obsessed with marriage, you may never get married because you dwell on it or you are against it because it haunts you. Or So this book is inspiring you to confront those issues so that they don't take you south, as what he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be the best you can be. So should we do you first, Chris?
Yeah. Okay.
Let me do you.
Let's turn the lights on first, I guess.
We're old friends. We can have the lights on.
Look each other in the eye. I'll make you guys some sexy music.
Everyone's pulling their boobs down.
Look at those sunburn boobies.
I know, it's really hot outside.
You know, I'm also so sensitive
to the
sun.
This is like a super titty show, guys. I just looked around the
circle. There's some good racks
here.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad that this is an auditory medium.
Yeah.
I mean,
we could take a photo.
The boobs are for us.
This is for us.
Just for us. Some things are just for us.
My boobs to your boobs. Our butts to our butts.
No, I just want to double check that
boobs.
You were born in 84?
Yes.
Okay, because we were born the same year. So I thought I knew that. Do you like the sound of the books giving texture? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It's so
good.
Quiet.
So good.
So faint.
Here we go.
So okay. I'm a Capricorn.
11, it says. Mm. They break them down, depending on the year you're born. Okay. So, do you want me to just read it for you?
I guess so.
Yeah, go for it.
It would be cool to be thought of as some gorgeous bimbo or a hot stud both sexes drool over. When you're young and look the part, it's kind of cool. Sexual freedom can be truly liberating, especially if you need an outlet you don't find at home.
Wow.
If you're part of the sexual revolution, you knew how much fun that could be. But of course, that was before AIDS. Genital herpes, notwithstanding, such an existence proves to be energy expensive after a while and keeps you from your true path in life, which is actually about intimacy, loyalty, and creativity.
Hey. Is this your life? Or what?
I know, right? You'll never truly behave. Even if you renounce the flesh utterly, a person must have the latitude to go and come as he or she wishes. You don't want to go to extremes.
This is uncomfortable, but so good.
You don't want to go to extremes and get preachy and judgmental about other people's behavior just because you've seen the light and have reformed. You'll always have to keep something going on the side, not necessarily sexual, just to maintain your options. In case the real thing comes along that you've been waiting for, hoping for, praying for your whole life. Wow. That's where the obsession comes in.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. See, so it could like, be, oh, there's always something. There's always something else. It'd be dangerous to think that way. Which is hard because then it's like you can't settle in and enjoy the thing that you have. And that's like in any aspect of my life, I'm always like, what's next? What's next? What's next?
What are my options?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you've got FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah, I've tried to reconcile that in terms of like going out and doing all the events and stuff, and I don't know.
I think that's what that's all about, right? Like, what it was just...
There's a real interesting thing with like, I don't know, I said I wouldn't talk about my relationship on this, so I'm not really going to.
I know.
But just like, I don't know, I'm just very happy in it, and
you
a lot
guys
of,
are wonderful.
A lot of it is like, we choose to stay together every day.
Yeah, every day you wake up and decide to stay together.
Yeah, so that's very
that's
much
important.
In terms of like, you know, I know that there's probably lots of stuff out there, and I know that I could probably have a lot of fun lots of different places, but I really like being here, and I'm going to choose this again.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that is what I'm really enjoying right now. So
good.
That's as
you
much
maintain
as
the flirty.
I'm a super flirt.
It's so funny. You're like, oh, I get so energized at the party. I was thinking, oh, yeah. I didn't know that side of you
just
until you
flirty
said
Magoo.
It yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
more. It's more of Chris's personality.
Yeah, if you have a utopian dream of perfect freedom,
yep.
Even if it seems unrealistic or seems like anarchy to some, you're not about to abandon it just because it doesn't make money.
Mm-hmm.
Money, however, always enters the picture, and without it, you can kiss your dream of liberty goodbye. Turning your dream into a reality means buckling down, committing yourself deeply, and being able to stay long enough in one place emotionally and creatively to allow your roots to put you down to sprout and eventually bear fruit.
Wow.
That's
wow.
good, hey?
That's so good.
Your obsessions are...
Oh, God.
Ooh, here we go.
So,
strap in.
You may need to probe deeply into your issues about not knowing where you're going and what you're going to be when you grow up to the point that you have trouble making long-term commitments. Although it sounds like you've worked on that already.
Mm-hmm.
Your obsessions are freedom and sex.
Well,
mm-hmm.
yep.
And I'm obsessed with sex. I'm obsessed with sex and religion, which is a heady combination.
I'll say.
So I love when I find people that are also into the sex thing. I'm like,
yeah.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As we all have our tits hanging out.
You like the idea of sex on a pew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. In a confessional booth.
Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew.
I like those sexy nun
That's
movies.
That's the sound a dick makes, right?
Pew,
sure.
Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew. It goes, and then that's how it says hello.
I believe it goes, boing.
Boing.
That's my favorite tweet I've seen in the last month with Josh Gondelman tweeting that I'm very bad at sexting because I always forget how to spell boyoyoing.
Boing.
Please send me a sext that says that.
I also love to say celebrities who share your issues as Capricorns
Ooh.
Are... J.R.R. Tolkien.
Interesting.
Ooh. Martin Luther King.
Wow.
And Henry Miller. And Dave Matthews.
Oh.
I've...
Take Crashing these and
I almost just skipped him.
Keep them in their
like,
boxes.
That the American bow. Matthew Good is how I think
bow,
of him.
Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow.
I get... I get that Dave Matthews song stuck in my head... Pretty much
that
weekly.
One?
The take these chances.
I don't know that one.
Place them in a box. Under the table and dreaming. Something like that.
I like the take these chances.
Pretty good.
Seems like it's sending you a message.
Pretty good.
I was singing Mr. Jones and Me pretty hard on the way over here.
The Counting Crows.
Oh,
did you meet Mr. Jones that. Downstairs? That's our friend Ryan Jones.
All the songs about him.
Every time I see him, I just think,
Mr.
We tell
Jones
each other fairy tales.
Me.
And we stare at the beautiful woman. Is she looking at you?
No, oh, I don't think so.
She's
looking
at
me.
That's my favorite part.
He's got that guy's like the quintessence of white boy dreadlocks, hey?
Ooh.
Or is he white?
I think he's
I don't
mixed
know.
Race, to be honest.
Well, then he's allowed to have them.
Can I say something really offensive?
I don't know, can you?
I can. Should I? Well, this is something that happened to my husband, who's mixed race.
Okay.
He met someone who was like an Abbotsford kind of guy.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Well, for the people who don't live in the Lower Mainland, mm-hmm. very conservative, very
Abbotsford white. Is the Texas of Vancouver.
It's the Texas of the Lower Mainland. Very white and very like conservative.
Quite religious.
Very religious. Not. And so he
salt of the
he
earth.
Introduced him. He said, "This is Carlos. He's a swirly."
Oh, okay, so I thought you were like, you have an offensive opinion you want
to
share.
I wanted
fine.
To share someone else's offensive opinion.
A swirly.
Opinion. And I'm now...
It's actually kind of cute.
Officially told everyone that story. He's like, okay, I can hear you in the other room telling that story. But it's... I just
as
was
far
so
as
shocked.
A horribly racist term goes, like, it's cuter than the well, average.
You know, it's easy to think that we live in, like, this progressive Lower Mainland world, but there's still it still is surprising. Or as you were talking about, like stand-up comedians and things mm-hmm. that people think are funny, and it's just like very it's like it's not the 1970s anymore. This is yeah. not pushing the envelope.
Yeah,
like pushing the envelope is living your reality and being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To joke about someone like because
Speaking
of their race
right
or their
now.
Trans or their sexuality or anything, it's mm-hmm. like that's not progressive. That's not shocking or
it's
exciting.
Boring.
Very boring.
I wasn't even offended by the jokes last night because they weren't interesting. Like they were just boring. They were just like standing on tropes like, oh, about Caitlyn Jenner. Isn't it weird if you change your
People
sex?
Love
like
talking about Caitlyn
Don't
Jenner.
You just like she's an asshole, first of all.
First
so
of all,
it sucks.
Yes.
It sucks that she's like a mouthpiece for the trans community because she's a dick. Like she's a super
she
conservative asshole.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, isn't it like that's such a big choice? It's such a big decision. I don't think it could make such a big decision. Like, where's the joke? Where's the joke? Like, have you yeah. ever talked to a trans person? Like, it's a big decision because they've been working on it for their whole life.
Their whole life.
Their yeah. whole entire life.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, as you can imagine, this is kind of a personal... I myself am cis, but my partner is trans, so that is something that I think about a lot. So, yeah. So I don't like it when people say shitty things.
Yeah, of course, well, yeah. I think, well, because I have trans person in my family, and it's, I think until you love someone,
yeah.
you know, that's what creates empathy. We should have, like, a karaoke themed episode.
Yeah, that no one will download.
I will. No, skip this. Would have been bold. Karaoke episode.
Explicit. Not for anyone's ears.
So, Katie, would we like to take a little break maybe
what
and
time?
Air out the studio
yeah, okay.
and sure. and then come back and do both of your charts?
Do me.
Okay, so okay we'll right be right on. Back. We're back.
And we're
from outer space. I just walked in
to find you here with this crazy studio space.
Wow.
Thank you.
Improv.
Improv.
You're like,
I'm like, fuck improv. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to do it a little bit.
Gloria Gaynor over here.
Just fuck off. I love that. Everybody's like upping their pun game on me today. And I feel like I'm not bringing it at all.
Oh
like you're,
goodness.
Oh wait, no, that doesn't align with our conceit. I was going to say your roommate was talking to me earlier. And he had a bowl of change.
Was he a merman?
He's a merman.
Yes.
He's a John the Merman. Good. Thank you. You saved it.
Got it.
And he had a jar of change, basically, that was just full of water. Like it was, and I was like, what are you doing? Are you making money soup? He's like, yeah, money laundering. It was like covered in beer or something.
No,
he was cleaning
it. He found $30 in change in
wow.
this van that he bought underneath the cup holder, so when he opened it to, like, clean out all the sticky coffee, there was just money in there.
Wow.
So he was washing the money.
Oh,
money,
yes.
laundering.
Money laundering. I'm like, you're money making laundering. Money soup? He's like, yeah, I'm money laundering. I'm like, that's so much better. I'm so angry.
A nod to you.
I've been sleeping this week. I'm not so fast on the uptake, so.
No.
So tell me about myself.
Okay, so what year were you born, Pisces?
I was born in 1985, so very close to Chris's
you're so
birthday.
Youthful.
But yeah, so youthful. I'm, like, a whole 2 months younger than Chris. She had to graduate before I did. Me.
Yeah.
Did you graduate 2003?
Yeah.
I loved how when I graduated in 2002, and it was like the big deal was the class of 2000. But then I feel like our class tried to make it a big deal. We're like, well, ours is the same forwards and backwards.
Yeah, we're the like palindrome year or whatever.
Yeah.
We still good New Year's glasses. You know the two O's.
Yeah,
and
we
the
had our
two
like we
side.
Had our sign. This is our sign.
Did you?
And
you're
it
so
looks
cute.
Like
it looks like Bloods.
Basically,
it's a gang sign.
Yeah, I think it is, and it's like two fingers and then two zeros out of the remain and then two more.
It just
fingers,
looks like it says lol.
Yeah. I don't know. We were so cool.
Very cool. We were. I never had the illusion that I was cool in high school.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Oh, no. I just hoped for better days, basically.
Yeah.
I was basically. Like, I remember slipping on a French fry.
Living a real Mountain Goat song, basically.
Yeah. I was wearing platform sneakers still.
You have to.
And you slipped on a French fry?
And everyone laughed at me. I was like.
How they laughed.
I was like, I'll never come back here. I was so like, I'm moving to Vancouver when I'm of legal age. And I did, basically.
Where did you live originally?
Calgary.
Oh, that was a good choice. Then. You've made
that
good choices.
A good move. I've made some good choices. Yeah, I think so.
I'd love to say no offense, Calgary, but I've never had a good time in Calgary. Sorry, Calgary.
Oh, I've never. I'll show you a good time.
Mayor Nenshi would take me around to show me a really good time. I haven't been there during his tenure. So.
I would move back for Nenshi. Not for family or friends, but for Nenshi, I might. He's really great.
You might move back for Nenshi. It's like, let's repopulate Calgary.
With all the creative people who left.
Yes, absolutely.
There is a lot of creative arts there. I don't want to disparage them. As I said that, I was like, oh, let me take it back. But I think it's hard to grow up there and feel different.
Yeah.
It's a very, like,
how you say?
Conforming.
Yeah, it's They want you to be like a stampeder, basically.
Yeah, and to, like, everyone dresses from the Gap, and it's like, you know,
and their platform sneakers so they can slip on some French fries.
I was trying to
spray
be unique.
spray yourself with some Gap Dream.
Yeah. Mm. No, I didn't have Gap Dream.
That was my shit.
I had the Calgon, Hawaiian
fucking
ginger.
Take me away,
take
Calgon.
Take me away, Calgon.
That was the 2 cents you could have in a gym class.
Oh, CK1.
Oh, you could. Oh, it's the three. Sorry, you could have CK1.
Or CKB.
Four things. You could have Gap Dream, and you could have Bath and Body Works ginger, and what was it? Hawaiian ginger
was the really popular.
That was Calgon and or Bath and Body Works.
I had my mom's old exclamation perfume.
Ooh, make a statement without saying a word.
The best bottle ever.
It was just an exclamation point.
Yeah,
it was like, ah, the perfume.
So 80s.
So
super
80s. It had the most beautiful ads, I think. It was like the simplistic, like minimalist, like sexy lady in a dress that was like black and white and then the bottle. Loved it.
Oh,
loved it.
I don't remember that ad.
Used to be obsessed with perfume ads and now I don't like perfume at all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wear it.
Mm.
Too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitive?
Yeah.
See, I can still do a pun.
Oh, I have to tell you about my vaping story really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, please, yes, before we get deeply into this.
Just in terms of, like, being sensitive. So I was already having allergies. I was already feeling cranky. I was on the BC ferries coming home from visiting my mom. And I was sitting, you know, out in the sunshine outside, not anywhere near the designated smoking area, and just sitting having a good time. And then right near the end of the boat trip, this woman comes up and starts, like, vaping upwind from me, like, on my same bench.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, blowing in my face. So I took out my headphones. I was like, hey, like,
could you go downwind maybe?
Yeah, I basically said, like, hey, your smoke's kind of getting in my face. And right off the bat, she was like, it's not smoke. You don't understand what it is. And
like, no,
I was like,
I understand.
Okay, sorry. Let me start again. Like,
your vape juice.
Yeah, like, it's just blowing into my face. She's like, well, that's the way the wind's going. And I was like, okay, yes, but so what I'm asking is maybe, like, you could go downwind a little bit. And she's like, well, this is no. And then she started getting really mad about, like, people don't understand what this is. You think it's smoke. You think it's chemicals. You think it's really bad for you.
Everything's chemicals.
And it's just chemicals that are good for you.
Yeah, and I was just like, what it really is, like, the smell, I really don't like it. And she's like, you don't like vanilla? And I'm like, it smells bad. Like, to me.
I don't really like the smell of vanilla.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm like, to me, it smells bad. And then she started getting into it. And then I had to break out. I'm like, I'm sensitive to scents. And then she was like, oh, God, everybody just.
Another one.
Right?
Oh, my God.
And then she just was getting really upset.
I'd be so embarrassed if someone was like, hey, if you're smoking pot near me, could you not? I'd be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Let me send you money every year for the next 20 years because I feel so bad about this.
You know, that happened to me. But it was teenagers.
And they didn't like the smell of your pot?
Okay, so I've been
fucking
trying.
Teenagers.
Hold on, can I finish my
vape? Sorry.
She said something else?
So then she, like, grumped and, like, went away. And kind of as she was leaving, like, she was like, I'm fine, I'm not going to smoke it anymore, and sat there for a bit. And I was like, cool, put my headphones back in. It's like, we could have just traded spots on the bench, you know, something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as she was leaving, she, like, tapped me to, like, take out my headphones again. And she was like, it's not smoke, and all these people just don't know, and I'm just trying to educate people about vaping, and, like, walks
away. Wow.
I was like, you're perfect. You're perfect. You're I love
perfect.
You. Like,
never change.
It was
you, horrible woman.
It was just
ask
like,
me about vaping.
Oh, man. And she was, like, it was this whole thing about just, like, well, that's not the point. It's not smoke. And I'm like, well, that's not the point. It just smells bad, and I don't like it.
T-shirt says, ask me about this robot dick I'm sucking on.
God. I don't know. It's like, if somebody came and sat down next to me and they, like, had really strong perfume on and I was downwind, I would probably ask them to trade spots just so that it's not wafting into my face.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm much more passive than that. I would have just left because I'm terrified of confrontation.
I thought I would try.
I was thinking, like, I'd probably leave, too.
I thought I would try
it's weird
being polite, and then she got really upset. So I'm like, I think probably lots of people say, hey, don't smoke around me. And she's trying to say it's not smoke. Mm-hmm. But I'm like,
But that's the same person
take vapes on the bus. Yeah. And you're like,
oh, God.
You're like, just wait.
Yeah.
Like
see,
a normal person.
I would take the vape smoke over cigarette smoke.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I still, like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's just if someone was like, you can have one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take the vape.
I was out enjoying the nice, fresh sea air on the fucking ferry. Anyway.
Yeah, your natural habitat.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Exactly.
Well,
what's your teenager story?
I've been trying to go to the gym. And it's this whole thing is I've been very hermity. And so...
People look at you when you're there.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Well, it makes my nights longer because I was just going home, eating, and then, like, that was my night.
That's my
I know. That was all I was doing.
It's
so
the best.
I've been going to the gym to just kind of stretch out the short time we have on this planet.
Yes.
But because I work at a stressful job, I was like, just going to have a little puff before I go in. Had a little puff of my my medicinal marijuana. I say all shifty-eyed.
The doctor says I need it to get high.
I sound like a real party animal on this podcast. And so then I was changing, and I feel really uncomfortable at the community center because there's so many young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of...
young people.
I sort of worry about, like,
youths.
I don't want to, like, get naked in front of them, but then I also don't want to be, like, body shamed.
You want to show them what the future holds.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I just feel uncomfortable in dressing in front of young people. I don't know, it's sort of, that's normal, right?
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable being naked in front of myself, Laura.
like I'm gonna corrupt the youth.
But I'm fine getting naked, in front of all the old ladies at the
sure,
community center.
Sure,
well, see,
like,
I'm more comfortable
sweet.
Getting naked in front of an 80-year-old woman and then just, like, looking at myself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, hey, you look great. I'm like, thanks, Magda.
Thanks, Magda.
You're so nice. That's why you're my best friend.
And then two teenagers came in, and they were like, it smells like pot in here. And then they started saying, you know, that's the worst thing you can... They were being very uppity teenagers, as sometimes teenagers are.
Oh, my God, go to Bible camp, you little shits.
I know. They're like, that's the worst thing you do for your health. It's terrible. And then one said to the other, is it you? And then I was like, oh, I gotta really, like, diffuse this. And I was super stoned, so it was very stressful. And which is why it took me so long to get dressed in the first place. And then I was like, hey, guys, don't worry. It's me. And they were like, oh, okay. And I was just so honest. Like, just honest. I was like, that's me. Sorry, dudes. And then they're like,
sorry, dudes.
Sorry, dudes.
You guys want to get some pizza with the rest of the Mutant Ninja Turtles?
You guys want to get high?
You guys want to.
And now the teenagers are my best friends.
It's the worst thing you can do. I wish someone would give us some pot.
I wish we knew where to find pot.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, it smells like weed. It's terrible. Who did it?
Can I have some?
It's the worst thing you can do. I really like it. If you got it's terrible for you. You got, like, a nice mix, like an indica sativa hybrid type thing. That'd be really good.
Oh,
it's disgusting. It smells like skunk butts. I like it very much.
Give it to me, please.
Give it to me, please. Yeah. Yeah. It can be weird. I'm very conscious of impacting other people in everything that I do. And so when other people are not, it makes me really mad in the same way that I think that what you just described. Like, I would have been, if I got up the courage to ask someone to fuck off in a polite way and they gave me shit, I'd be like, well, I'm never talking to another human being again. And also, I have to push this woman off the boat now.
Yeah. You live here now. In the ocean.
In the ocean. Now I'm like, you're a whale. Bye. Good luck. Find your pod.
And when she, like, blows out of her blowhole, it's just vanilla smoke.
It's not smoke.
I think I probably popped it.
All right.
Let's get back to it.
Let's get to Katie.
Get to old Katie. Tell me about myself.
All right. It says, you don't have to be raised Catholic, fundamentalist Muslim, or Orthodox Jew to be slapping your forehead and shouting, no surprise to me, to anyone in earshot when you see the scandal that has rocked the Catholic Church in the last few years.
Wait, what?
What?
He just got political. God told him to
God
write this
told
book.
Him to write this book.
God's
okay.
upset about the scandal.
God wants, me to kill the cardinals?
If God...
He wants to clear the air here on this.
If God was writing through a writer, I'm sure he would be like, and maybe say something about this terrible thing that's being done.
Why is it on my shoulder suddenly?
It's up to you to fix this.
I gotta get to the Vatican, guys.
It says, nothing, absolutely nothing, burns your butt more than evangelists and their seedy private lives. Teachers who mess with their students and shrinks who jump their patients on the couch.
It's all about that private justice kind of thing where it's like you don't like seeing people being taken advantage of.
I don't like people using their positions of power to exploit other people. Mm. It's a really big thing that I hate. So, accurate so far.
Well, you know, this isn't my horoscope, so this is definitely not the same. I love it. I love that. Anyway, sorry. It's just to say, like, how
I think
could
about
be
it
generalized.
All the time. Okay. Like, it's something that I'm conscious of constantly, and I hate injustice.
I didn't mean to diffuse and make your reading all about me. I'm going to sit this one out.
Okay.
I love your input, Capricorn.
I also do.
And yet, you've got to have compassion for the lost souls who take advantage of the innocent.
I do.
Part of you, wise Pisces that you are, part of you knows that nobody is really, totally, completely, 100% innocent. And while it may sound like blaming the victim, you know that on some level, victim and perpetrators are sometimes brought together for reasons we don't understand.
Ooh, I don't know about this one.
That's uncomfortable. Oh,
don't like that idea. I thought it was going to be like, you know that people aren't perpetrators without having been victimized themselves. I'm like,
although
that's something I think of. Yeah.
That is perhaps
I thought you were
going to
say not 100% evil. I'm like, not innocent. Like, oh no, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying into this one.
Fair enough. That's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll just edit this book right here. Let me just give me a pen.
I'm like a prison abolitionist in a lot of ways, so I'm kind of like, I'm not down for like punitive, incarcerative type measures. I don't think they work.
No, and it's a terrible system.
Oh, yeah.
Especially down in America.
I'm not saying just like let them all run free or nothing, but no. You know. Anyway, we could do 10 podcasts.
It's interesting, though, because in the Downtown East Side, you notice that it's in Vancouver is very famous for the Downtown East Side. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a stretch of like open drug use and but it's interesting because you notice that there's definitely people that are predators, and then in equal numbers there's people that would give you their last dollar.
Sure.
And it's like such big-hearted people, and so sometimes when people don't understand the Downtown East Side, they don't understand that part of it, and I'm like, it's really tough because there's so many people that are big-hearted that they've literally given away. Their last
there's a million
dollar,
of those,
like, and they're sitting on the street.
There's a million of those. I think that as far as that statement goes, I don't like the way it's written, but I think that the essence of it is true in that, like, everything is an interaction and, like, a transaction, and we're all having relationships at, a micro level and at a macro level. And so, like, the idea that, like, a perpetrator can't perpetrate unless they find somebody to take advantage of. And so, like, they are not, it doesn't make them deserving of that kind of victimization, but, like, they are prime.
It's that whole, it's the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
It's like, we all exist in relation to each other, too.
More. Something that sounds better than that.
Yeah. Of course, you could conceivably make it your life's work to be an undercover cop, seducing and exposing those wolves in sheep's clothing. Although taken to an extreme, this could make you extremely paranoid. You could perceive anyone who finds you attractive as dangerous.
Yep.
You can be pretty seductive and misleading yourself, Pisces. She's giving me a little boob jiggle. Despite your issues, you have a message to pass on and a beautiful voice to communicate that message in a more loving way.
She's a professional speaker.
And you're already fixing the way he wrote this? You're like, it could be better.
It could be better.
It could be better.
You can always find a more compassionate way to say something.
That's true. Artist, researcher, or academic, you have an excellent head for business. If you'll just get up the courage to speak up and make sure you get what's due you.
Oh, I'm bad at that.
Paid for your work.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it.
But yeah, that's fuck just you, what we were talking about. Get the courage up to speak up.
That's Skrilla.
We have the same issues.
Remember is it religion how and sex?
Religion and sex. It says, at this point, you need to probe deeply into your obsession with being cheated on and lied to the point that you don't believe anything or anybody, or could become faithless yourself. That's if you're having issues with your issues.
Right.
So that's religion and sex are your issues. And the thing about religion is they say it's often the pursuit of intellectual pursuits, because 400 years ago, 500, 600, how many years ago, sometimes that would be the only way to educate yourself was through religion. So, and because this is all past life stuff, that's how it ties together.
That's like a very, if you take like a 100 level women's studies class, they talk about, like, if it's a history class, they talk about how, you know, the only sort of quote unquote feminist figures in history that we have that are recorded were religious figures in a lot of ways, like Eloise and Abelard. Eloise was a nun in later life, and you had like the Spanish and Italian women who decided to like basically become abbesses, mm-hmm. in order to have access to books.
Right.
In general, and to be able to read and to be able to, like, lecture or preach or whatever. So it was, like, the only option available to them. And so there were a lot
is of, the religious path.
Like, mm-hmm. early feminists were basically all nuns. Mm-hmm. Because that was the only, like, non-reproductive path that you could take. And if you're
not be
reproducing...
straddled with 12 kids.
Exactly. If I was sent back in time very suddenly, I would absolutely join a convent. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Be safe.
Yeah. I don't want to get no syphilis and a million babies.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hang out with a bunch of old ladies and wimples.
There's a really good article that Anne Thiriot wrote. And okay. It was, she went to a convent near Montreal and interviewed some nuns and talked about their feminism. And
wow.
It was really cool.
That is very cool. Yeah.
I would like to see a as I said, I like sexy movies with nuns.
Sexy nuns?
Or like, so if we could have like a sexy feminist nun, like.
Movie?
I heard about a thing on Twitter. There was this amazing woman in history, and I'm sure that our friend Luna could enlighten me a little bit more, because she's the resident historian of this podcast, even though...
She does not reside here.
No, she'll write us some missives to report, I hope. But someone on Twitter was talking about this one woman who was, like, this fun, like, bisexual fencing champion woman who apparently, like... She was with this man and then ran off with, like, the daughter of a merchant or something. They went to the girl that she was in love with or whatever got excommunicated by her family or disowned by her family. So they went to a nunnery and just had, like, so much lesbian sex in the nunnery.
There was probably so much lesbian sex in the nunnery.
And then they got kicked out of the nunnery for so much fornication. And then, like,
stop
ran
that
off.
Fornicating.
Yeah. But, like, that's, you know, sort of a haven for a lot of that. And, like, I love Call the Midwife for all the supportive, wonderful relationships between the nuns, like, that are non-sexual, but, like, really loving and really kind and really compassionate.
Love that show so much. God, I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just thought
about it. So that's really funny that the three of us all came together and we have similar issues.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Like, was that all of my stuff, or is there some more?
You share...
Tell me more, tell me more.
You share issues with James Taylor.
Oh,
so you've got a friend.
Flying machines, pieces on the ground.
Well, there's a little part at the end too that I was skipping for conciseness.
Okay,
let's see what it says.
Throw it out.
Let's see what it says.
Yeah, sure.
It says you have played the dumb blonde more often than is good for you, and you've gotten screwed. I was looking at your red hair, going, I don't know if this is relevant. You're a Pisces. The search for the big high that's led you into more dark, twisted, dead-end alleys.
That's a bong noise.
I thought this was a boing.
No, boing. No, bong.
That sounds kind of like noise. A gross blowjob noise, too.
Oh, yuck. Oh, my God. My dad listens to these.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry, John.
My mom will be.
We said that this is not safe for parents.
We warned them.
Yeah.
Good. It says, mentally, you'll always be a lot healthier if you stay rooted right down here in the world where people know how to negotiate financial deals, talk about the weather, and hold hands on a spring afternoon.
This sounds so boring.
Shake hands.
Mine's not very good, Chris. Yours was better.
That's maturity and fulfillment. Although you'll probably think it's boring. You'll live a longer and more prosperous life. Isn't that funny?
Shit.
Shit, fuck.
God damn you, Chatelaine, man.
We're sure that...
Michael Luton.
We're sure that Pisces 5 is me. That's
Pisces
1985.
Nine.
Pisces 9, okay.
Yeah, I think that's... I'll double check.
I think you were looking at 5. Wasn't that...
Nope. This is not my first time with this book.
This is not my first rodeo.
85-9. Yeah.
Boo. I don't like me.
I don't know.
I think it sounded the search for truth and the... What is... It says that that's your gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think
and like the compassionate communication thing, right. And always putting a like kinder voice to everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, I took a quiz today. I took a quiz online. I was working very hard at work, and it was what is your epistemology?
Mm.
So like, what is your sort of way of seeking knowledge in the world, and like, how do you study? How do you research that kind of thing? And that's from the academic perspective, obviously. And mine was Patricia Hill Collins, and I was really excited about it. And she's like very much like subjective truths are worth studying.
Oh.
So people's personal truths are important.
Yes.
And that we don't have an objective truth that we can work towards. We just have all of these overlapping subjectivities.
That's true.
That form some kind of a, like an amorphous truth, but you can't take it as its whole picture. You mm-hmm. can't zoom out of it.
And it's super contextual. Like, every situation that you get into, you'll be a very different person and have different things that are true about yourself.
So that was, like, mood, a very...
If you're hungry, then the truth goes out the window.
Oh, yeah. For me, big time.
Or the truth comes right to the fore.
Yeah. And then you know what? Trouble. All of you, I don't appreciate me, and I need an English muffin right now. Trying to educate you about my vaping, and you don't care.
You just don't even. It's not.
Who knows what she was going through?
I know. I tried to be compassionate.
You were very compassionate.
She had to just to get up every day and be a vaping advocate, and that's really hard because that's stupid.
And you look stupid, dude.
And she looks very stupid. And it's so stupid. I'm not saying vaping itself is stupid. If it helps you quit smoking, fucking awesome. And I, like I said, I like the smell of it better than the cigarette, but don't think that you're a social justice warrior if you're promoting vaping.
Vaping, yeah.
Oh, God.
Trying to change people's minds here.
Yeah, it just must be so hard because it looks so dumb.
It looks so dumb.
Yeah.
Let's find the compassionate way to say that. It's like, I think, honestly, I felt like she was just being very defensive and reactive because...
Something
I think
because she knows we feel that way about her.
Yeah. Maybe. So, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'd be mad, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
Lauren, do we want to do a little bit of yours? We talked about your sex and religion.
I also have sex and religion, the intellectual pursuits, but
Mine's sex and freedom. That's fun.
That is really fun.
But, like, the obsessing of that is...
Take me to church is mine.
We should, we'll have to get together so you can thumb through, because they have the whole back of the book is how to deal with your issues.
Oh.
So that's a whole other... That's a little less podcasting.
Okay. I kind of feel since we all have sex in common, though, shouldn't we read?
How do we fix it?
Yeah, how do we fix this sex issue?
Well, they already in the little chapter of mine. It said like try to settle in more and really like invest in some long term.
Do all
stuff.
Of these just tell you to root yourself down a little bit?
Sex is see how like religion is tied in with intellectualism. Sex is tied in with creativity.
Oh.
There
you go. So it's kind of like, you know...
How do you express yourself?
How do you express yourself? And if you're not expressing yourself, then sex can be an easy way to get off.
I think the right combo for me is sex and religion, because religion is like pretty representative of guilt, I think, because when you intellectualize the sort of more primal experiences that you have, you start to feel like bad about them.
Right.
Or you start to like overly think about it, like... Have you been watching Not Safe with Nikki Glaser?
A little bit.
Okay, so like when people were talking about getting really high and having sex and then just thinking too much about the mechanics as they were doing it and then being unable to do it, like that's how my brain works, is I start thinking about things too much and then it's not fun anymore.
Oh,
yeah. So I overly intellectualize and I overly think about it and I like just want the, like I'm going to look for the guilt before it comes and finds me.
Mm.
So.
Another system of... like classifications that I like to work with is the chakras. And as much as that is like also like it's fucked up and convoluted and there's a lot of like weird cultural appropriation involved in that, but the system of like the root chakra, the groin chakra, like all the different ways that you move up your body.
Your pussy chakra.
There's a pussy chakra.
There is. And so that's the one that's associated.
Butt chakra. Your butt chakra.
Anal.
There's your anal chakra and then your pussy chakra.
Your booty hole chakra. You got your twat chakra. Twatra.
Your solar plexus. That's
and
your belly button
chakra. And
your
heart's somewhere totally different.
Your solar plexus is up here, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of your middle. But it's the groin is the second one and that's orange and that's creativity. So sex and creativity are linked tradition as well.
Yeah.
Just saying. And like creativity, life comes out of there if you decide to do that.
Creating life.
Right? Yeah. Or like sexual experiences are very, exactly. So I like that as the seed of creativity is like in your loins.
Creating yeast.
Oh, yeah. True.
Just thought I'd go there.
Yeah. But like if you think about like, oh, my passion, my creativity, my passion and my passion for sex, like they're referred to in a lot of
passion,
the same terms.
Passion.
Yeah. I mean, you play the fucking cello. You can't get a hornier instrument.
You put it between your legs.
Yeah.
And it's super low and it vibrates a lot.
It's so good.
You have a great time.
So good.
You have a good old time.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with our sex issues?
Okay.
First, according to Michael...
Luton. So according to an old white man. First of all, let's just put that out there. And I love you. I love you, Michael Luton.
Do we ground and root ourselves and commit to a partner? Does he have commitment issues if he's telling everyone to root down? In his book? Anyway.
He says, first of all, you have to get over your anger toward people who are either more repressed or more sexually liberated than you.
Mm. Oh, okay, I guess.
Part of you is definitely conservative in the sense that your values are a heck of a lot more conservative than anyone would ever think. Yeah. In fact, you're a born business person, or you will be just as soon as you grow up and figure out that you and you alone have to shoulder the financial responsibility. Mm-hmm. The buck stops at you. Even if you're more gifted than Michelangelo, this isn't the Renaissance.
No, he is my favorite Ninja Turtle.
And he's so good with nunchucks.
And those popes who we discussed and a little perverted.
Asshole popes.
Who anteed up for the artists are long gone. Mm-hmm. You must become the bridge between esoteric art and hardcore commercialism.
Hmm.
You're a born salesman or woman.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael Lurton.
This is so, like, in this capitalist paradigm, but I guess that's the it one is. That we got,
that's
so.
What we're working with.
Yeah. It's what we're working with, but isn't it funny? Even if you don't wiggle your fanny or show your thighs, there's still that look
is
in your eyes.
Or is it American?
I don't know.
I have to assume that they don't mean wiggle your vagina.
Wiggle your fanny.
Whoa!
Just flap it in the breeze.
I learned this in Thailand. There's still that look in your eyes that says it all. It says, if you want to buy my wares, follow me and climb the stairs. As Cole Porter
said. Kaljeet has wares if you have coin.
So when you start using your head, money will spring into your hands. So it's kind of this, and then mine talks a lot about me throwing my money away in the pursuit of pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So their advice was similar to that, was that you need to get a little serious. You need to...
I feel like someone's mom actually wrote this. Was like, hey, stop fucking so much and save your money.
Hey, Pisces.
Brenda, is that you? Is that my mommy?
You can keep fucking.
Can I?
Yeah, I don't think he said don't stop. To stop fucking.
Just don't. Just only fuck one person?
They didn't say that. Just try to
don't,
like,
obsess over it.
Yeah, channel some of the energy you obsess on, like, seeking out the next, like,
next
encounter
thing.
Or whatever, to maybe pour it into your own creativity, to turn it
pour
into
pour it
business.
Back into yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
I do write a lot of jokes about my crotch, so
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, and then you're capitalizing on that. You're putting it out there.
And I'm going to get some money from that. No, I'm not. I'm never going to make money from that.
You might win that.
I might win that $100 at the 100 quitter. We'll see. We'll see.
I made $400 for 6 months of work. Doing Beautiful. My sketch comedy, which was fabulous.
You sold out a whole theater.
We were in Coquitlam at the Evergreen Theater. I'm in a sketch troupe called Strapless. We have a website.
What's the website?
Straplesscomedy.com.
Yay!
We have cute pictures. We like looking at ourselves and taking pictures. and we like playing men and playing with that and having... And trying to write men that are...
Is it an all women group?
We're an all women group. That's so we tried to, like, rip off the whole, like, Kids in the Hall thing. We're like, well, we'll just be men if we need to be. And then over the years, it's been a challenge to try to be compassionate and write men as
that's very
well-rounded
much
characters.
The way the Kids in the Hall wrote, because they were never just simply, like, putting men in dresses.
No.
It was very much, like, fully rounded characters.
Amazing.
The two, like... French-Canadian sex workers.
That's my
Jacqueline
favorite.
And I can't remember the other one's name, but Dave Foley and
only
Mark McKinney.
Only one was French-Canadian. The Dave Foley
Dave Foley
was.
And Mark McKinney made some of the most beautiful women.
Yes, mm-hmm. Especially Dave. Yeah.
Dave looked exactly like a boss that I had for a while. Man, I had a crush on her, too.
But I liked all the Kathys, too. You know, I love Kids in the Hall. So I appreciate that you're, like, trying to invert that a little bit, but also trying to be compassionate, not just be like, men are stupid.
Men
have
do
a
this.
Mustache. Or scratch my crotch.
Yeah. it's been a growing... it's been very... there's been a lot of growth for me.
Men are people, too, guys.
Men are. I had to get married to
In theory.
That, to Carlos.
Ew.
I used to be so mean to the men.
Ew.
And then,
do you have to, like, touch him and stuff? Ew.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
And then I have to share a bathroom with him.
Oh, that's a bridge too far.
I know. Well, actually, I had a male roommate before, and that kind of prepared me for living with a Pisces man.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a Pisces.
What's his birthday?
Okay, this is a whole thing, because my mom doesn't agree that he's a Pisces. He's born on the cusp, and he's a Pisces, he's Aries cusp, like March 20th, and she's convinced he's an Aries. Big difference.
And I'm trust her on this.
But I'm like, you know, mom, maybe he's here to challenge your belief system, and if he wants to be a Pisces, just let him be a Pisces. That's what I think.
Is he trans-zodiac?
He's trans-zodiac.
It's my dad's the same way. He's not
no way.
A Leo, but he's a Leo. Like, he's just decided because he's August 23rd. So he's like,
he's
is it August
pretty
Virgo?
Much, he's pretty much a Virgo, yeah.
That's, he will never
23
accept that.
Years, and he's pretty far gone, yeah.
He truly believes himself to be a Leo, so.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't
I know.
Isn't that funny?
It's cute. Yeah.
Boundaries are flexible sometimes, if you want them to be.
There's, I see, and this is the whole thing we were saying about astrology.
before the mic's turned on is, I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but it's fun. And more often than not, it can be very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it really, I mean, if someone really hates astrology, I'm not going to be drawn into a long argument. I don't like long argument. I don't like debating for the sake of debating.
Nope.
I would say to someone that if they hear this and they're like, these people are full of shit, and it's like, cool, this isn't
great
for you.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, we are. Absolutely. Yeah. We're totally full of shit. We're so full of shit, our eyes are brown, pretty much.
Yeah, but
all of our, yeah. This is the brown
eye hazel.
Yeah.
It's a weird
mine
day.
Mine too. But, it's just, it's not for you. This is for us to have fun with it and other people that enjoy that kind of thing. And if you don't like it, I don't want to argue about it.
I don't like arguing for the sake of arguing. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I want you, like, I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to hear it. But it's so obvious sometimes when people are just like, oh, you know, like when they're just like picking a fight, it drains me.
Yeah.
The whole devil's advocate bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny that all the people who like to argue for the sake of arguing and people who, like, I love debating and I love to just, like, take the devil's advocate position, they're never anybody who's ever going to be, like, oppressed or, like, marginalized in any way. They're always people who just, like, have all of this, like, mental space and energy not defending themselves constantly to just be able to look at something as if it's some kind of objective, sterile, foreign argument
or
that doesn't actually impact anybody's
life. Or if
it's
a thought experiment, like in your philosophy class where you do a logic problem. It's
my,
like,
life is not a thought experiment.
Yeah.
Right? It's not.
Yeah.
Astrology, on the other hand,
can be a thought experiment.
Can totally be a thought experiment. And it's fine if you don't believe in it. Like, it's totally fine. I don't even know if I don't know if I do after getting mine about
it. I don't think I, like, believe in it, but I sure do resonate with it a lot.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
it's perfect, I think. It's like, I like to chant at yoga because it feels good.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
It's not like I think I'm ascending to a higher spiritual plane or anything like that, but fuck, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't know what shit works.
I like when they chant.
I'm just a baby in life.
We're just sexy babies.
We're just a bunch of sexy little babies trying to find our way in the world, and we're so scared. Babies.
Do we want to end on that, guys?
Oh, gross.
You wouldn't get on board with sexy baby time.
I would never. I just don't want to.
Well, Lauren and I are going to go be sexy babies.
Okay, have fun. Right. And we'll see you next week. Gross.